Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
New episode of Zone Time for your ear holes. Julian here. Omar from In the Mentions is here. Avery, welcome back, buddy. And Sam from the Broadcast Podcast is here. I have to admit, a lot has happened over the last week since we last did an episode of Zone Time. And I feel a little bit drained. I feel a little bit exasperated. We don't necessarily have to go through the entire timeline of events that have transpired since last Tuesday or Wednesday to now, but just as a Coles Notes thing, we know who John Doe is from the allegations that surfaced surrounding the Chicago Blackhawks when it comes to sexual abuse. Is Kyle Beach, the former 11th overall pick from 2008. We know Joe Quenneville, who was the coach of the Chicago Blackhawks at the time, is out of a job now, and other people around the hockey world are coming to grips with everything that has transpired. We've seen interviews. We've seen a lot of emotion. We've seen lack of emotion from certain people. And we can get into that on today's episode. But just to kind of start off here, like, I know we're going to delve into as many thoughts as we want to about what has gone on over the last week, but I kind of just want to see what everyone's feeling right now. I kind of want to see what everyone is feeling about, you know, their own mental health, hockey culture, their own fandom, anything like that. Like Omar, I know you're a big Leafs guy, but I know you definitely have some thoughts on this. Like, how have you been feeling, man?
Yeah, man, that interview where Kyle Beach was talking with Rick Westhead on the Sports Center was one of the most courageous things I've ever seen. And it was, there was just a roller coaster of emotion, and none of it was positive. And it's, as you're watching it, and he gets, you know, further and further into the details of what he went through, what he experienced, how he's feeling now, and all the aftermath with it. It was just, you're watching, it's like your heart's breaking like over and over again, and you don't know how to deal with it. And then it goes from just an overwhelming sadness and just grief for this person whose life was changed. Again, Julian, you brought it up. This was a kid who had dreams, drafted in the first round of the NHL, probably had a long career ahead of him, or just a long life, or at least in those years, just being happy, celebrating with teammates, all that type of stuff. And it was just taken from him for a sick and disturbing reason. And then it just got quickly changed to this anger, because I remembered all the comments that people said, I didn't know this took place. I need to hear the facts. I need to get more information. And then you remember that. And then again, you contrast it with watching what Kyle is saying and just seeing him break down multiple times. It's just, it's so frustrating. And it just makes me think of, when are we going to get to a point where the NHL stops getting worse? And that's just where it's at. As the days go by, the NHL looks worse, or to say it better, they reveal that they're worse. Because again, this was happening for years. This happened 10 years ago, and it wasn't until it was reported on that we figured it out, or that we learned about it. So it's just, I, and the conversation now is just like, you know, how does hockey get better? How does the league get better? I don't even know. All right. And that's the sad thing, is because the reason why one of the main reasons why this thing was bad and got to where it was is because of hockey culture, because of this need to be silent, to not look like a distraction. And because of that, multiple people failed Kyle. They failed Kyle. They failed his family. They failed his hopes. They failed his dreams. They failed every positive aspect that he had walking into this game that he grew up loving. They failed him. And I don't know what they can do to fix that.
Just watching Kyle Beach, watching interview, I watched it later on. I got angry. I got so mad to know that some people in the hockey world ignored him and put winning the Stanley Cup ahead of player safety. He was a 20-year-old. I don't care what people say. A 20-year-old is a kid. You are adjusting out of your teenage years. You are still developing as a human being. And the fact that no one said, you know what? This is wrong. We can step in here and say for 1 minute, there are bigger things than winning a Stanley Cup. It was just disgraceful. And the fact that this was out there, it was known among the management corps. And the perpetrator's name, who doesn't deserve to be named, got his name on the cup. Still, after all that, is disgusting. And for people like Quenneville, and so they have to say, you know, oh, this and that, I didn't know, I don't recall, is embarrassing, and they should work in the league again. They should never, ever, ever coach or be a GM in this league again. They don't deserve that privilege of being in charge of young men. They don't.
I'm with Omar and Avery. I would say how I feel this week is tired. I feel tired. I feel like this is, you know, this is the most egregious and most detailed example we've seen, but it's not something that's new. Like we've all talked about issues with hockey culture for a long time, like on Zone Time, before we were on Zone Time. And not only was the interview with Cal Beach heartbreaking, it was that, you know, like we've talked about before, it was a story that a handful of dedicated reporters covered. There were a lot of failures amongst media members, amongst NHL executives and coaches and front offices, where they just didn't touch the story because they wanted to win. They wanted to focus on winning and the legacy of the Blackhawks and all of the stuff that comes with the glory of winning. And then you have this whole week of reckoning where they say all the right words about, you know, Kyle Beach was so brave to come forward, we failed him. But every message in every press conference since, every decision to let Quenneville coach a game without, like half an hour after the interview aired, the press conference that Gary Bettman gave, the statement that Donald Fehr and the NHLPA put out at, 11:59 p.m., every single decision that has been made since does not actually demonstrate that they understand what they're saying when they say we failed him. And it has shown an incredible level of callousness. It has shown an incredible level, like Bettman said in his interview, like hockey culture prohibits this kind of conduct. Nope. That's a meaningless statement. Like
biggest bullshit I've ever heard.
Yeah. Like, what does that even mean? And then for him to say, we have a sexual violence policy. It's a case by case basis. A policy is a written document. Like,
yep.
Produce a written document that tells you the rules by which you have to follow to deal with these kinds of investigations. So you can't be like, well, December of last year, the Blackhawks GM told me, the Blackhawks legal counsel told me there was no merit to this, and that was the end of that. If you actually had a policy, that would not be sufficient. Mm-hmm. And so for me, this entire week has been exhausting watching these people fail to get it over and over again. And then today you have the Penguins releasing a statement on the new lawsuit. And in it, the third sentence, they say, oh, well, Jared Skoll didn't report for 7 months. And it's like, yeah, you don't get it. After the last 6 months, after the last week, you do not get it. So stop telling me what hockey culture does or doesn't do.
Literally. And if these things are prohibited in hockey, then why are we here? Then why are we here? Why are we at a moment where we're still waiting for more information to come out? Why are we at a moment where Kyle Beach's story hasn't been retributed in any way, shape, or form? Why are we in a position where the Kyle Beach story even took place? If that is prohibited in hockey. Like, I get the lawyer stuff. I get it. I understand it. I understand what Gary Bettman's position is as commissioner of the league. I get it. I understand. But I have some freaking compassion for, like, oh my, like, we're talking about a human life here. We're not talking about dollars and cents. We're not talking about a quota, a number. We're talking about an actual person. And the decisions that the league continues to do and fails to do is hurting people, right? Like, Stan Bowman gets fired, or sorry, he steps down.
Steps
or
down.
Resigns, I'm sorry, he steps down. And then yes. He also steps down from being the GM of U.S. hockey or the Team USA.
Hours after the fact, mind you.
Right.
Hours after he steps down from Chicago.
Right. Right. And who's in talks to replace Stan Bowman again?
Bill Guerin.
Bill Guerin. And what happened with Bill Guerin?
Well, yeah. He's so defended, he's looked to be a defendant in that. A defendant in that lawsuit.
Yeah. So it seems as if there is a problem in hockey. There is a cultural problem in hockey. And also the sense that all the same people continuously work and grow the game in air quotes in hockey. And there's all these continuous stories. So now I'm sitting here every single day waiting for the next thing to come up and then waiting for that thing to not be fixed or for there to be nothing that comes with it. Akeem Aliyu was supposed to have an investigation, some meeting with the league. Bettman claimed it happened. Talk to Aliyu's camp. News to them.
His representation has said that, that was news to them to hear that the investigation had been completed.
That's the shocking thing, though. Like, what did he think was going to happen when he said that? Like, do you not play out the next three steps when you say something like that? Like, it just, none of it made any sense.
The problem is, you know what? You'd be better off just saying no comment instead of straight up lying. You cannot lie. When people will check your BS and look and say, oh, did it happen? It didn't happen. As a commissioner, you cannot just sort of lie to people. You can't lie to the media or to the fans or to accumulate people like that. It was embarrassing. The man lied.
But I think that's the other point, though, Avery, is that a number of people straight up lied here. Mm-hmm. And assumed that they would get away with it. They assumed that the culture of silence would continue. No one would really come forward. Nothing would really happen. And so they could say and deny whatever they wanted and they would never be exposed.
Yeah. Joe Quenneville said, I had no idea it took place. Comes out, man was in the meeting. Say, hey, well, you know what? This is the first time we've been in the cup, close to the cup in 18 years or whatever. They ask him the next day, do you stand by your comments? Yeah. Like, dude.
Like yeah, I don't know how I've mentioned this before, but the 2010 Blackhawks, I look at them in a completely different light now.
Yeah.
Huge. But I look at so many other people in hockey culture or just hockey period in a much different light. Like watching the Winnipeg Jets press conference with Mark Chipman, the owner, and Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general manager of the team, who was revealed to be only but a small player in all of this and was not given any discipline by the league. It was refreshing to see them be emotional about everything that happened. But there's a part of me that still just has this creeping doubt and wonders, should I take them at face value? When Kevin says that he really didn't know what was going on and that he's really sorry, should I take Mark Chipman at his word when he feels that the culture, at least in Winnipeg, is good? Like, I don't know what to believe. And I don't know about who in this game you could, it's weird to say trust because I don't know these people in hockey personally, but like at the end of the day, like Kyle Beach right now and the Chicago Blackhawks still have a case to settle, right? They're both sides met up on Tuesday, and I'm trying to remember the tweet specifically from Rick Westhead, who said that both sides kind of spoke and they had some differing viewpoints, but it looks as if they could come together on some resolution. You mentioned empathy, Omar. Like, one thing that I'm still really, it kind of grinds my gears is that, you know, yes, Gary Bettman showed empathy for Kyle Beach. What about for the high schooler who was also abused by Kyle Aldrich? who Brad Aldrich. Brad Aldrich was convicted and is a sex offender. That's all done. Why mm-hmm. Why does Gary Bettman need more information about what happened? Why does Gary Bettman need to hold back on expressing any sort of sympathy for that person? Like, I understand the lawyer stuff too, but I understand it to a point. At the end of the day, there's no time, if you're going to speak to us, the public, media, whoever, to just kind of lawyer this up in front of everybody. Show some compassion. And also be okay with the fact that the culture in hockey is absolutely broken. The people who are tearing into Tara Sloan for her comments on Sportsnet, talking about how hockey culture is broken, it's absolutely indefensible. It's okay to expect more and want more from the sport that you enjoy and seek as an escape from everything else, and not just think everything is just okay because you think so. This sport is broken. We're not just talking the NHL here. This sport is broken. And it's just, I understand it because of the sport, it's brought us here for Zone Time and for so many other opportunities. I'm thankful for that. But it feels really weird just watching hockey games play now and just act like nothing is wrong.
Like, yeah. And to your point, Julian, I think like it's to a point now where there is lost trust when it comes to the game, right? And, you know, we always, a lot of people will say, especially when it comes to like these type of situations, they'll say like, oh, well, you know what? I come for sports for an escape. I don't want to hear all this type of stuff. Okay, cool. That's great. However, those things that you do not want to talk about are existing and do take place. And when you want to get to a point, let's talk about business, because, you know, the NHL likes to talk about dollars and cents and a lot type of stuff. There are less people who are going to watch and partake in the sport if they know the sport is not safe. And again, I'm not talking about physically safe. I'm not talking about broken arms or you know, sprained knees. I'm talking about mentally and emotionally and culturally safe. The Kyle Beach story is one of thousands upon thousands of stories that we know and also don't know that show that the game of hockey is not safe. And that, I think, is a huge issue, and that needs to be talked about. And it's efforts like this, it's investigative journalism, like what we saw from Rick Rusehead and Katie Strang, that allows us to see that the sport is broken, allows us to see that there are elements of it that need to be fixed, because you can't fix a problem unless you acknowledge that it's there. And that's what the league has done for years. Anytime there's a problem, they sweep it under the rug. They settle it. They say, you know what? We'll deal with this in-house. How many times have you heard of that? We're going to deal with this in-house or in the room, right? It's like all these things take place. And it's like, it's not until we acknowledge these issues and actually actively do something about it and not only hit people with lawyer talk and I don't want to prejudge people or whatever the heck Bettman said in the decision to let Quinville continue to play that game or coach that game. We need to go beyond that. We need to go beyond dollars and cents and policies and mandates. We need to like legitimately give a crap about people. And I don't know why that's so hard. I really don't understand why it's so hard for anyone in this process to just look at the camera and say, I'm sorry, we were wrong. We messed up. Don't take an opportunity where you're supposed to apologize, supposed to make amends for what happened, and then talk about how good Stan Bowman was to you. Why the heck does that matter? And then walk it back after your freaking hat trick. Yes, I'm talking to you, Patrick Kane, saying, oh, you know, well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have taken that opportunity to talk about to talk about Stan Bowman. You think? Like, that's not the focus here. So I really think we just need to start legitimately caring about different people and caring about everyone, the community. Hockey's a sport that really invokes community all the time. You look at these different areas around Canada of these different communities that connect and grow and form friendships because of hockey. And these stories come out like, oh my God. Like I keep thinking back about what Wayne Simmons said when, I can't recall the event, but there was a moment he was asked, and he pretty much.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Said how it's stories like this that make him question as a parent whether to let his kid play hockey or not. And this isn't a parent who doesn't have the time for it or doesn't have the funds for it. It's just an actual choice. And I think that's pretty sad.
Go ahead, Sam.
No, you go ahead, Avery.
I was going to say, and oh my, Mr. Wayne Simmons, that is an active NHL player. Like, I don't know if I let my kid play hockey. An active NHL player questioning the culture of letting his child play hockey. The NHL, the CHL, hockey around the world, to look at that and say, that's concerning, that's an issue. And I look at this, I just think to myself, if you want to get to be better, get these people out of here. Quit protecting them. I don't care if they're your buddy. I don't care if I give you a job in 5 to 10 years. I do not care. Mm-hmm. I don't.
That has to happen.
If they're good to you, great. They're good to you. But if they are a piece of garbage to the rest of the hockey world, then get them out of here. I don't want to see them here anymore.
Preach.
I think we're on the verge of that. And I think it's going to be a very painful process for a lot of people. But it's what's especially going to have to happen. A lot of these people who are in these positions of power, who are going to take advantage of their systems to have it only benefit them and not be helpful to other people, they're ultimately going to need to go. And I want this to segue into another topic, what I want to discuss on this episode today. It's through the work of people like Rick Westhead. I know I work for a company that employs Katie Strang and Mark Lazarus and Scott Powers, who have done incredible work on this story. Ben Pope for the Chicago Sun-Times deserves a lot of praise for his work. WBEZ in Chicago, I believe, was the first outlet anywhere that reported on this. And that's what prompted Rick Westhead to report on this. But Rick Westhead is doing some of the most important journalism on this story. He may be the most important journalist in this country at this moment in time. And the way that the National Hockey League handled him in their press conference with Gary Bettman was nothing short of shameful. Letting journalists go online and tweet about how it's weird that Rick Westhead had not been able to ask a question after how many minutes into the press conference, having Pierre LeBrun go into the Zoom and be like, hey, I hope my colleague Rick Westhead can ask a question. Like, it's nothing short of embarrassing. And even at that, he only got to ask like maybe like one or two questions. And then so many other people got to ask follow-up questions, other opportunities to ask questions. There are plenty of people in that Zoom. I would imagine if you're in a situation where if you do not have your laptop ready and you're on mute, of course, they're going to move on to the next person. There are people who got those second opportunities, and Rick Westhead did not get that. Rick Westhead is doing incredible work on this story. He deserves the praise that he's been getting on this. He deserves a break, as far as I'm concerned, after all of this is done, whenever this is ever going to be done. But Rick Westhead, the way that he was treated by the National Hockey League during the Gary Bettman press conference was shameful. It was disturbing, and it just builds into the distrust that is building into hockey culture over the last few days as a result of this. And I understand there are so many other instances where the NHL deserves scorn and criticism over this. And this is not the first time they deserve this, but this was, if you didn't know before, but looking at what happened to Rick Westhead in that press conference, I think should open your eyes to how they view this sort of thing.
I mean, that's not new, right? I talked to Rick a year and a half ago when he was working on the concussion story still. And this is even before he did the problem of pain last year. And he said at that time, he cannot get anyone in the league to call him back. He can't get a call back at any given point. He's not invited to most of these press conferences because he's not in the PHWA. He's not a beat reporter. but he cannot get them to call him back, even though he constantly tries to get a comment. And I think that the brutal thing about it, like to Omar's point about everything being a business, and like, if you take this from a business perspective, there was no part of that press conference and publicly freezing Rick Westhead out that way that even makes business sense. Like, forget the human decency part of it, okay? I don't expect the league to understand human decency at this point. I don't have that expectation. From a business analysis point of view, that is easy PR. Like, you have to be able to predict what people are going to say when you do things like that. And you have to know that people are going to say, this looks absurd. And like, you look ridiculous, you look petty, you look like you're avoiding the story and you're not willing to take responsibility. And that has been the weirdest thing about this. Everyone says, oh, well, Gary Bettman does such a great job. The league has grown so much. Has it though? It's grown in terms of its traditional target market. It's grown in terms of money. But this league has consistently done a terrible job of reaching out to people who are not traditional white Canadian American hockey fans, who are cisgendered straight men. And to Omar's point about the sport not being safe, I don't think that just means, you know, like putting your child into hockey is not safe from physical harm, from fighting, from concussions, from systemic sexual abuse. It's not safe as a space for fans who are women, who are people of color, who are transgendered, who are LGBTQ plus. Like, it is not a safe space for anyone who is in any kind of marginalized community. And despite all of the performative theme nights that they do, when push comes to shove, they don't take it seriously. And so for me, I don't think you're growing the game. If you are going to marginalize every single person who's not in your traditional base, you aren't growing the game. You aren't reaching out to any new markets. You're ostracizing them and making them feel like this league does not care about them. And that's why it's hard to watch hockey now. Like, I don't care how the Canucks are doing, because when I watch this, I'm like, well, who cares? Like, why does this matter?
Yeah, honestly. And then even if you, it's so ironic how the Rick Westhead situation went, because the person who was the most vocal about an issue that the league didn't want to be put on blast was froze out. The league's pretty famous for when it comes to that. If you go, you know, beyond the status quo, if you're actively doing things to bring light to specific things, if you're speaking out, how many times have we looked at players and called the players with big personalities distractions, and they get traded? They're toxic in the locker room, all this type of stuff. We literally just saw the same thing. So again, the whole like, well, this isn't hockey culture. No, it is. It is.
I want to bring up another point here and keep on the media thing for a second here. There's something that's been on my mind all day, really. I was listening to 32 Thoughts, the podcast with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick, and we can agree to disagree on this if we want, but I want to make this point. In this podcast episode that released on Tuesday, Elliot Friedman discussed the Gary Bettman press conference, and he acknowledged the fact that people had messaged him and asked him, hey, well, why didn't you ask a question in the press conference? And he said that he didn't want to come across as disingenuous or someone just cherry picking the story, someone just coming in at a random point in the story. And I think some people see that and they will make that point, and I can understand where they're coming from. I see it from the other side. A person of his influence, of his stature, he should be in that press conference and he should be able to ask a question. You guys can all correct me if I'm wrong, because I think all of us have heard in some way or have seen enough quotes, but I know I listened to the entire press conference myself. I can only think of one person from Sportsnet who asked a question. And we've been critical on Sportsnet before and the way they've handled this before, with regards to the interview on Hockey Night in Canada with Gary Bettman and Ron McLean months past. I think if you are a person of notable influence as an insider, I know Pierre LeBrun got to ask questions and write stories after the fact. I understand that they could have done more when it came time for Kyle Beach, but I think now that everyone is in it, they should be able to do something. They should be able to use their platforms to say something, bring attention to this issue, and in a position where they are able to ask a question to someone who knows a thing or two about what's going on, they should be able to hold those people accountable. I understand that some people might see it as them cherry picking, But I think Elliot Friedman and this, and what he was trying to say, I don't necessarily agree with the way that he was looking at it. I think if he had gone into that press conference and said something and asked a genuine question to Gary Bettman, I would not have seen a problem with that at all. And I think other media types as well should be able to take opportunity of that. People like Michael Stevens out at the Hockey News, who, you know, we know from the Staff and Graph podcast, you may have just known him as a guy who just yells about the Leafs and has just been suffering as a result of the postseason run. I didn't mean to use that as a dig, just to personify him. But he's someone who, in light of what's been going on, has been tweeting about press conferences, has asked questions to Gary Bettman, has asked questions to the Winnipeg Jets organization. He has used his situation and his platform. He might not necessarily be a household name in hockey media, but he's somebody who is able to ask questions, and he's been pretty brave being able to do that. So if someone like Michael Stevens, who is our age and is able to do that, what about Elliot Friedman? What about all the other insiders who have those positions of influence as well and maybe want to step back because they don't necessarily want to look like they're cherry picking on the story? Like, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. And I know I haven't necessarily written anything on the story, but I use platforms like this to call attention to what's going on and have these discussions for sure. Like, you don't have to look at me and think I'm not doing anything. And I can say that for everyone else on this podcast as well. So when I hear someone like Elliot Friedman, who I have nothing but respect for, say that they don't want to necessarily ask a question, I don't know. I give my head a shake about that. I think he's one of the people who should be able to ask questions in those moments.
A story like this takes all of us talking about it, creating content on it. Doesn't matter if you're Elliot or my boy Mike Stevens from Yahoo, from SI. Doesn't matter. Everybody needs to talk about it. From a blogger, a podcaster, Sportsnet, TSN, NBC, TNT, ESPN.
Everybody.
When we all talk about it, that's where real change comes. Change doesn't come when we decide, you know what, I'll just let Jim or Bob talk about that. That's not for me to really touch right now. Then cherry picking. Real change comes when we all discuss it and we don't let up. When we all put their feet to the fire, that's when real change can happen in the hockey world.
I agree with that. And I don't disagree with you at all, Julian. And actually, I'm probably going to take it a little further than you did.
Sure.
I think that's a cop out. I think I get the logic in his reasoning, but if you dig a little deeper into that, what he's essentially saying is, well, people are going to say I'm cherry picking. I don't want to deal with that. So I'm not going to ask the question. That's a cop out. You had a platform. You have had one of the biggest platforms for decades. You are an insider. You're able to break news about like the most ridiculous things possible inside locker rooms. But somehow you missed the biggest cover-up story in the last 10 years. You're telling me every insider out there is able to break trades. They can tell you that Tyler Seguin had someone posted outside his hotel room during playoffs because he was partying too much. You can get those details, but you didn't know about this. That's, you know, maybe. Is it reasonable to think that? I don't really think so. I don't think that's a very reasonable thing to ask people to believe at all. But at the end of the day, you didn't report on it. You are now trying to do it. And because you don't want people to say, well, why didn't you cover it before and put those hard questions to you? You're just going to say, I'm not going to put my hand up now. I think that's a total cop out. Like, I just think that's a cowardly thing to do.
I think we just need to get to a point where this, again, like if you can't fix a problem until you acknowledge it exists. And I think when it comes to this, and something that it's been great to see for me personally is just how many people, whether again they're bloggers that just have random Twitter accounts, have been so vocal on Twitter about it. And I think it's part of that, or part of the reason as to why the story is as big as it needs to be. And I just hope it just doesn't end, because this can be the beginning of maybe future things that take place having the same type of fire, the same type of energy. And, you know, ideally you like to think this will never happen again. But again, when it comes to the NHL, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there are hundreds of cover-up stories. But I think the important thing is that once they're out there, that we do everything that we can to make sure it doesn't go away. Because, you know, the people in the high ups will try to, you know, get rid of it just because it's, you know, takes away from the product or whatever. But I think making sure that we continue talking about these things is important. So that's why I'm thankful for platforms like this, Zone Time with you all here, people like, again, like Rick Rusted and Katie Strain, who have been doing so much and have been using their platform to spread the message, which is great.
Go ahead, Sam.
Sorry, I was going to say, on a similar note, I know it was great that a lot of media members were calling the NHL out for not calling on Rick Westhead, and the PHWA put out that statement today. And I think that's good. I think, you know, there's some like bare minimum credit to be given there. But a lot of the guys doing that, like, you could have been asking the questions all along. Yeah. I thought the statement today was disingenuous. They were basically patting themselves on the back for having Pierre stand up to the NHL and say, hey, you should ask Rick a question. 6 months ago, when this story first broke, I put together a list of every single member of the national chapter of the PHWA. 10 people out of 32 at any point tweeted or retweeted a story about the Blackhawks. And of those, I think the substantive comments were all from Katie Strang, Marissa Njemi, Greg Wyshynski, and like a handful of others, and everyone else just retweeted other stories. And sorry, Scott Powers is also a national beat writer, but every single other person on that list did not touch this. And so to me, you don't get to now just pat yourself on the back for being like, oh, well, you should call on Rick. I think that what I'm hopeful to see here is, I know they're taking a lot of heat. I think they're rightfully taking a lot of heat for not covering this story. But until we see how they cover the Penguin story, I don't really care what the PHWA has to say about this.
Yeah, I'll say this as a media member, like, media deserves to be criticized for how they've gone about covering the Chicago Blackhawks story and other stories in the past as well. And I wonder if that's going to change a lot of hockey fans' mindsets on how we view insiders going forward, on how we view people like Rick Westhead going forward, even people like me or Avery or Mike Stevens or anyone else going forward. If we are in a position where we could talk about a story like what's going on in Chicago, you know, and we're not doing that job, it looks terrible on us. And I can't imagine what the industry itself is thinking. And I wonder if the change that we're calling for in the National Hockey League, if there's going to be some other type of media change to come later too. You know, there's a lot of questions that, you know, are still out there. We're still trying to wrestle with. This is a story that we're not going to shy away from. This is something that we said in the summer before we broke off for a break, when we spoke about when the allegations were out there. We've set the same line when it came to the Logan Mailloux stuff as well. This is a show that's not going to shy away from that sort of stuff. And hey, look, maybe in the next week we'll discuss Donald Fehr. I thought we would have been able to discuss him a little bit more today and have some news on whether or not he'll still be the head of the NHLPA. But as of right now, we do not know if he will still have his job, but the players are still meeting, as far as I understand. But this is a story that we're going to continue to talk about. Zone Time is a show where we do like a lot of funny stuff, but now's not really the time to be funny. Now's not really the time to just act like everything is okay, because everything is not okay when it comes to the National Hockey League. And while I am thankful for the opportunities that the sport of hockey has given me, I look at the NHL with a lot of shame and a lot of questions about my place. And I think other people in this call feel the same way as well. And I know earlier I mentioned the fact that I have the platform I have to speak out on some of these stories, but, you know, I didn't need to make it about myself, and I'm sorry about that. But I will say that I want to be in a position to make change as a reporter with the platforms that I have, and I want to be able to do that. And I think everyone else on this call feels the same. And I think a lot of other people, whether that's just fans or media or anyone else, want to do the same. And I think as a silver lining to everything going on, there are people who do care about what's going on, and there are people who want to see the game be better. That's what gives me hope going forward with everything that's gone on in the last few weeks.